Amen. A wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. As we come together on this morning, continuing to give God thanks for all that He has done for us, for all that He is doing, and all that He will do. You know, there are many times where we can just thank God in advance. For if His word tells us something, we can rest assured that it is going to come to pass. And as Brother Simmons says about 5, 6, 7 times in his prayers, just want to say thank you. And we most definitely have something to be thankful for on today. God allowed us to lie down on last night, at least some I stayed up all night. But He allowed us to see another day. A day that was not promised to either one of us. But here we are, the Lord's Day. To come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. To give Him thanks for all that He has done for us. To have the activity of our limbs and to be in our right minds. We'd like to ask you to think for a few seconds about who are you loyal to? Who are you loyal to? I was thinking about this question, and sometimes we can say that we are loyal to a thing instead of a person. If you're loyal to a thing, you may want to change your mindset. A house can't do anything for you. A car can't do anything for you. Nothing that's without a soul can do anything for you. And I say that because sometimes we get things mixed up. We messes them up. We just totally. Now, I can say you're loyal to your marriage, but you need to think about that just for a moment, because it's not so much as your marriage that you're loyal to, but the individual that you're married to. Or you're loyal to your job, but it's not so much, again, the job, but it's the employer that you're working for that you're loyal to. Brother Brian, you at Ford? Do you like the people that you work for? I knew that. I could see in your eyes that you would fit to say something like that. I'm not going to say the people you work with. But it's not so much, again, that job, is it? And then I would like to say that some are just loyal to that paycheck. You just show up. You don't do nothing. You just want your paycheck. Well, today we're going to look at it. We're going to answer the question, where does your loyalty lie? You can make that plural if you would like. Where do your loyalties lie? I'm going to define this word loyalty this morning. Loyalty is defined as the quality of being loyal. Quality of being loyal. A strong feeling or support or allegiance. Let me give you two sentences here. One for the first one, the loyalty to her husband of 34 years. The other one, fights with in-laws or distressing because they cause divided loyalties. I'm going to continue. Loyalties, the state of or quality of being loyal, faithfulness to commitments or obligations, faithful adherence to a sovereign government, leader, cause, etc. An example or instance of faithfulness, adherence, or the like. A man with fierce loyalties. You ever heard someone say, "This is my loyal companion"? A lot of times they're not talking about their spouse. They're talking about their dog. My loyal companion. Wherever I go, he or she goes. They're loyal to me. They will protect me. Some people have lost their dogs, and their dogs have been gone for, let's just say, 3 years. Someone has found this dog, and that dog is now loyal to someone else until they see their old master, and they try to break the chain or the leash to get to their master, and they're like, "Why are you trying to go that way?" And the person that they're trying to get to say, "That's my dog." And they say, "No, it's mine. Let it off the chain and let's see who it will come to. Let's see where his or her loyalties lie." Think about it. Some of you may have lost your pet before and someone else has it, and there you are, and that pet comes to you, and now you're into a good fight because that dog or whatever has been loyal to someone else. But now he or she sees you and want to come back to you, but they don't want to release that pet because it is now their loyal companion. You do what you may to try to get your companion back. Where does your loyalties lie? Where is your commitment? In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, we find here a woman by the name of Naomi. She has two sons, two daughter-in-laws. And within saying that, both sons die, and now all she has is two daughter-in-laws. And Ruth tells her daughter-in-laws to go back to their people, to their gods. And the first one, what does she do? She turns and she goes back to her people. And the second, the Bible tells us in verse 11, well, we just start there. In verse 11 says, "But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me.'" Verse 14, "Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, 'See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.'" Now, Ruth and Naomi had formed a relationship. The 10 years that they were together formed a relationship. And this relationship caused Ruth to change her loyalties from her gods, her people, to now to the God of Naomi and Naomi's people. They're not family. You know, a lot of times we have to understand the importance of family. We have to understand the importance of God's word. Going back to the beginning when God created Adam and Eve, and Adam made that statement when he found this woman laying beside him when he woke up, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. Therefore shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Now, not only did Ruth and her husband cleave together, but Ruth formed a relationship with her mother-in-law. There's a lot of daughter-in-laws that don't get along with their mother-in-laws. For what reason? I have no idea. Anita has the best mother-in-law in the world. Why would she not get along with her? I don't know. But they get along fine. They get along fine. And a lot of times it's to the point of, you know, she began to act like my mom. And I'm like, that could be good and that could be bad. But they get along. And I want you to realize how and see how Ruth and her mother-in-law got along because of what is said next here after Naomi is trying to tell her to go back to your people. Go back to your gods. You don't have to follow me. You don't have to serve the God that I'm serving. But Ruth made a statement that showed where her loyalties lie. They were right there with Naomi. He says in verse 16, but Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. Sounds like a marriage, don't it? That's exactly what that sounds like, a marriage. She was married not to Naomi. She was married to Naomi's son. But here she has said, I am going to cling to you. I am going to follow you wherever you go. I know that you're going in the right direction. I know that you're serving the right God, and your God is going to be my God. And it says in verse 18, and when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Else about it. That's what you want. That's fine. She didn't even have to say that. She just didn't say anything. Left her alone. So what did Ruth do? Ruth kept her word. Ruth followed her. People of Naomi became her people. The God of Naomi became her God. So ask yourself today, where does your loyalty lie? Who are you serving? Who are you clinging to? What are you doing that you can say, I am doing the right thing? Because I know the right God. Who are you serving? A loyal God. That's who we should serve. A loyal God. A God that will never ever leave us. A God that will never ever forsake us, knowing again that Jesus said, if you deny me, I'm not going to deny myself. If you're unfaithful, I'm going to remain faithful. If you're faithless, he says, I'm going to remain faithful, for I cannot deny myself. We serve a loyal God in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and the verse is 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and the verse is 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. A faithful God, a loyal God. To whom? To the people, to man whom he created. He's loyal. He's faithful. He's going to keep his word. No matter what we do, He is still going to keep His word. We as people, we can't say that. Yeah, I'm going to be loyal to you until you mess up. No, that's not our God. Our God is always loyal. He's always going to be there for us. If we turn away from Him, He's waiting on us to turn back to Him to do the right thing. And that's what we have to know. It says, steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. He is just waiting. Waiting to bless His people. Waiting to give them the promises in which He has made to them. He's going to keep those words. The only ones that's going to benefit are the ones that are faithful. So we have to be faithful. We have to do what's right. We have to think about who are we loyal to? And are we going to do the right thing? You know, there's a lot of people that are only loyal in lip service. Loyal in lip service. I would never do this. Or I would never do that. Yeah, you'll never do it until you're faced with it. And then what are you going to do? Jesus here in Matthew chapter 26 telling Peter that he was going to deny him 3 times. Peter, oh Lord, I'll never deny you. If everybody else turned back, I'm still going to follow you. Lip service. That's all that was lip service. How do I know? I know because I believe what the Bible says. That Peter denied the Lord even after the Lord told him that he would, and Peter replied and said that he would not. Peter did. Peter did. Peter gave lip service. Let's read this in Matthew chapter 26, and the verse is 33. Well, let's start with verse 30. But when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. But Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. Loyal to his master. Loyal to his teacher. Loyal to the cause in which he has been called to. Come and I will make you fishers of men. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teachings. Hear Peter, loyal. Loyal, but only in lip service. Because the very thing in which Jesus told him that he would do, and Peter saying that he would not do, Peter did. In Matthew chapter 26 and the verse is 69. Now Peter was sitting outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you mean. 1 time. And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. 2 times. After a little while, the bystanders came and said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. 3 times. And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Lip service. That's what Peter gave when Jesus told him what he would do. And he went out and wept bitterly. Lip service. His loyalty at that time did not lie with Jesus. His loyalty, lied with him saving his own skin. I don't know him. Don't know that man. I don't know that man. I do not know the man. And he remembered what Jesus had said. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. You know, a lot of times we tell people, you can't do what I'm doing. No, I'm going to stand by you until the fight began, and then what you going to do? You see what Peter did. Peter, a disciple of our Lord and Savior, the one who took his sword and cut the soldier's ear off, the one that was always talking, speaking up, trying to defend our Lord. Here, he could not even defend himself. Did not want to put up a fight. What is your loyalty's lie? Think about it. Think about it. Peter gave it much thought after that. Jesus had already told him that Satan wanted to sift him as wheat. He said, "But when you are converted, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Loyal to the law that is right. That's what we need to figure out today. Sometimes, what is actually right? When we start talking about the government, when we start talking about the laws that have been passed, and we start looking at these things, and we have to examine them, and we have to make up in our minds, do we want to do what these people have passed? The laws that they have passed, do we want to, carry those things out? Remember, every law that goes across and has a stamp of approval on it by man is not approved by God. Now, we have to continue to pray for those that are in leadership positions. Amen. Subject to them, as the Bible tells us here in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every person, Romans 13, 1, let every person be subject to the government, governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Governing authorities, men that are in high places today, why are they there? Why are they there? Well, one, yes, you cast your vote. Two, and they won those votes. And three, God allowed them to live to get there. And what must we do when they are making laws that we don't agree with, when they're making laws that are not pleasing to God? What must we do? We must pray for them. We don't have to support them, but we must pray for them that they may have a change. And we're seeing changes come about today. Over in Indiana on Friday, they had time to just sit back and just examine the law of abortion and look at those things, and had time to still, debate about those things. They said, let's go ahead and pass this thing now. Abortion is wrong. See, some officials understand that. Other officials do not. Where do your loyalties lie? Do they lie within looking at the Word of God and understanding that the Word of God is true? Or do your loyalties lie with pleasing man? Here again, we are subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. But God does not give us a free get into heaven pass if we're following or doing the things that are wrong. A lot of government authorities will not make it into heaven because they do not want to change, or they have changed to doing things that are wrong. Let's look at God's word and let's be obedient to him. It says in verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive the approval. Again, loyal to the law that is right. That's what we need to understand, that we are doing what is right and not those things that are wrong. No matter the situation, stay loyal. No matter the situation, stay loyal. And we're going to read this for the sake of one of the members here, word for word this time, Brother Brian. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Job was a man that had many troubles. And he had these troubles because God allowed him to have these troubles. And these troubles only prove that Job was a man that feared God. And that he was a man that was loyal to God. And so we'll start there in Job chapter 1 verse 1. Job chapter 1 verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold feast in the house of each on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Why? Because Job was loyal to his family. Job was loyal to knowing what God desired and what God wanted him to do or what he needed to do in order that his family may be consecrated. That they may have sinned. Job didn't know if they had sinned or not, but they may have sinned in this feast that they were having. But here's what the Bible says in reference to loyalty and the old devil knowing where our loyalty lies. In verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it.' And the Lord said to Satan," Lord said to Satan. Listen to these words, because I want us to know that this communication that the Lord is having with Satan has something to do with man. Has something to do with man and man's loyalty to God. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." Now, where has Satan been? Satan had been everywhere. Do you not think that Satan had already passed by Job and he noticed what Job was doing and noticed that Job wasn't one to be played with? I believe that Satan knew that. And Satan knew that, and that's why he says what he says next. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Wasn't a question there, was it? That was a statement. But you have done this for Job. This is what you've done for him. You blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. Now, does not the Bible say that Satan was a liar from the very beginning? That he's the father of lies? Is this not a lie right here? Where he has said, if you, you know, removed his head from around him, if you allow these things to happen, that he will do what? Stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. That's what Satan says. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. We're not going to tell the rest of the story. But I want you to understand that no matter the situation, stay loyal. Satan knows our loyalties. He knows what we will do. He knows that you know, we are standing strong. He knows we're standing flat-footed. He knows that we're not going to run from him. But we're going to tell him to get the hints. You get behind me, Satan. I'm moving forward. You know, the brother prayed in reference to being able, you know, to put the whole armor on in order that the advances of Satan, that we may be able to conquer them, that we may be able to do what's right. Go and read Ephesians chapter 6 and talk about, you know, look at what you need to do in reference to putting on the whole armor of God on. Once you put it on, you just can't stand there with it on. You need to be in prayer. You may be able to do the things that God has given you the ability to do. That you may be able to stay strong. That you may be able to use your voice and tell Satan, get thee hence, for I am loyal to my God. I am loyal to my God, and I'm going to do what is right all the days of my life. All the days of my life. I'm going to do what's right. What does David say in the 23rd Psalms? That I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will do what is right. And that's what we need to understand. Doing what's right should not be just lip service. Loyal obedience is required. Job had loyal obedience. And I like, you know, how the Bible talks about Job's family. How it talks about the sons and the daughters, and then it talks about all that he had, and then you get to the end of the book and it talks about that God gave him more in the end than he had in the beginning, and his daughters were very beautiful. Don't know what they looked like before, but God blessed them. God blessed them because of his loyalties. Jesus says right here though in Luke chapter 6, because there's a lot of people that are calling on the name of the Lord. There's a lot of people that are saying that I'm serving you, God, and I'm going to do what's right. And as Brother Fair would say, when someone would say, I know the Lord, and he would ask the question, but does the Lord know you? Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, and the verse is 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who built the house, but the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Was great. See, we need to be on a solid foundation. When we call on the Lord, when we say, Lord, Lord, we need to know that we need to be in complete obedience. Well, what does he say in Matthew 7:21? Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Obedience, hearing the word and being doers of the word. Because we know that his word is true and that we need to be loyal to him. Because he's loyal to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's loyal to his creation. Are you willing to be loyal to him? Are you willing to do the things that are right? If you're here this morning and you are not a child of God, quit putting off. Quit waiting till tomorrow. Yes, you're here today, but you may not be tomorrow. Today is all you have. So get your life right. Make the confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And submit to the watery grave of baptism, having your sins washed away. Rising to walk a newness of life and staying true to our God. Keep studying. Keep growing. And if you're here and you're straight away, we're asking that you come back before it is too late. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come if you're subject to the invitation.